Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Look, you need insurance, you go to Purdy Insurance, or you can go to purdyinsurance.com. You're going to get more than just an insurance agency. You got people who genuinely care. The customer comes first. So if you need auto, home, life, business insurance, whatever it may be, they'll find the best insurance for you, the right price. Budget's important. There's a claim they're your partner. Customer comes first. There's that great commercial of Adam Purdy, one of their clients traveling through Canada, panicked just a bit. Something happened, wanted to find out if he was covered, he was okay. Adam went through, made sure, assured him, and then he said, look, just relax, enjoy the rest of your weekend, you're all set. Now that's the kind of insurance agency you want to be with. I mean, to me, that says it all. It's the kind of people you're dealing with. You know, we deal with them every year in the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. You can't ask for better people who are really good at what they do, really smart at what they do, but just are good people, too. Purdy Insurance, Market Street, and Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Speaking of good people, Sunbury Motors. Tom and the gang, you're not going to find any better. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day, Asdrubal Cabrera with the call of Howie Rose.
The pitch to Cabrera. Swing and a drive. Well hit right center. This one has legs. It might head towards the pool. It's gone. A home run. Asdrubal Cabrera takes Boxberger deep. And the Mets have gone back-to-back here in the ninth inning. 5-3 New York. Cabrera's 12th home run of the year. We ask rhetorically, where has this come from? And it is answered jubilantly in the Mets dugout by Cabrera and Nimmo.
You could tell the fans were not enamored at Chase Field with that home run. My goodness. Yeah, that's... baseball attendance is down. And I want to get into the Machado thing as well. Now, look, the Orioles have not dealt Machado yet, but they've made it pretty obvious they want a deal. Because, look, they're one of those franchises, the Orioles are right now, that are down and out. And I'll be frank with you, as somebody who's seen some of their players at Aberdeen, they don't have a lot of prospects. And they're looking to rebuild their farm system, which I understand. You're trying to rebuild your farm system. And the Orioles are in a spot where they're not even a middle-of-the-road team right now. So if you're not even a middle-of-the-road team, all right, taking somebody who is pretty expensive but talented, you may want to consider dealing for prospects. So that guy's Manny Machado. Now, can they make a deal with somebody before the trade deadline? Absolutely, because you got a lot of teams are going to look at him and say, you know, it's the kind of guy we could use. To me, the Phillies are one of those teams. Look, between Franco, Crawford, Kingery, and Hernandez, all right, you can take at minimum one of them, at minimum one, okay, and then take three others in the farm system and deal them. And I don't want to hear about, well, what about the future? Future what? Future of what? And you have no idea how those guys are going to be. You do know what kind of major league player Manny Machado is. To me, you've got to get to a point with a franchise where you can mix in youth with established players and then allow the youth to establish themselves. And they can do so on their own clock, obviously, because you already have established players. And it makes a big difference when you have established players. I mean, look, the top teams going right now, and it turns out almost all the top teams right now are in the American League. You know, we can take a little bit of the Cubs, too. Cubs are interesting. They're homegrown with guys like Baez, Chris Bryant, Schwarber. I believe Contreras is part of their homegrown group. But they picked up Rizzo in a deal. Addison Russell was in the Jeff Smarja deal. They signed Hayward, who's been, Hayward's been better this year, but hasn't really been great for them. But they also signed John Lester. No, so they've done it with a mix of homegrown and acquisitions. Okay. Red Sox, their base lineup is almost all homegrown with the exception of Mitch Moreland and J.D. Martinez. Okay, the other seven guys, because remember one of them is a DH, one's a first baseman. The other seven guys all came through their system. They've got more homegrown players out there than the Phillies do. I mean, do you feel now as a Phillies fan that you got adequate return on Cole Hamels? It's now been a couple of years since the deal was made. Do you feel like you got adequate return on Cole Hamels? I realize that you're talking about a guy that's making $22.5 million. So I got that. So you are talking about money and how much money he's making. And I know, and of course, now he's 34 years of age. But do you feel like now, I mean, it's been 2 years since the trade. Now, since the trade, now obviously you're a different team, different time. Okay? With the Texas Rangers. So what he's dealt with July 2015, so it's almost 3 years now. With the Texas Rangers, he's 36-18. His ERA, by the way, is a little bit higher with Texas than it is with Philadelphia. But I would always expect that with a pitcher going from the National League to the American League. You don't have the pitcher spot to make your ERA lower. I mean, you have to pitch to 9 legitimate hitters. But you're talking about a guy that's 36-18 since the trade. Okay. And in ERA, it's 3.69, still pretty good. Now, when he was with the Phillies, his ERA was 3.30. But do you feel... Okay, so now we know what he's done. Okay? But now I want to ask you, what do you think the Phillies got in return? I mean, to me, that's the big part. What did you get in return for Cole Hamels? So let's take a look at the players, and then you tell me. Jake Diekman was also with him in the trade. He didn't lose anything there. So what do you got? You got Matt Harrison. No. Nick Williams is okay. All right? He's okay. Jake Thompson. Alec Asher, and then, of course, then the Jared Eichhoff. Now, let's give Jared Eichhoff credit. I think Jared Eichhoff's been pretty good. I think he's a pretty good player. He's not Cole Hamels, but he's pretty good. And that's where they are. I mean, Nick Williams? Been all right. Yeah, he's a 270 hitter. Still waiting to see on that one. Jake Thompson? No. Okay, Alec Alfaro, or excuse me, Jorge Alfaro. No. I mean, this is what you do. I mean, yeah, they got multiple players, but I mean, what are they doing for you? I mean, where's the star in here? I mean, Alec Asher, I believe he's with the Brewers now, isn't he? So he's out. They already dealt him. And Matt Harrison is out of baseball. There you go. Again, what do you get in return?
Eh.
I mean, that's just one trade. I can label you a whole bunch of trades. I mean, do you think, I mean, look at the Pirates. I mean, the Pirates went out. Look, there's no tanking in baseball. There's no reason to tank. Done. Zero. You get a draft pick. It takes them 4 or 5 years to get there. I mean, Mickey Moniak is in high A right now. He got drafted a couple of years ago. He's in high A. He's not even close to getting the major leagues. So drafting high doesn't mean anything. So you don't tank. Look at the White Sox. I mean, all the trades they've made. To me, so my point is, now let's get to what the point is. You're like, get to a point. All right, I'll get to a point. The point is simple. Right? I would not fear in any way, shape, or form dealing prospects. Because I don't think there's as much risk as you think. I think it's the other way around. I think there's less risk dealing here. Take some prospects. Like, get the established guy. So take some prospects. Take four of them. Deal them for Manny Machado. Don't sit there and worry, oh, I can't believe we lost this guy. You don't even know how good that guy is. You have no idea, even as a diehard fan, how good some guy is. Jake P. Crawford, oh, can't wait. And I'm watching his progress to the minor leagues. I'm like, all right, I don't see it. Where's his, he can't hit. Well, he couldn't hit in the minor leagues, and he can't hit in the major leagues. There's a shock. Every once in a while, you get a guy that's a little bit better in the majors than he is in the minors. Cesar Hernandez is a good example. And he's a better major league player than he was a minor league player. And I thought he was a good minor league player. I liked him. When I saw him at Williamsport, I thought, hey, he's a good-looking prospect. No, not great, not awesome and incredible, but really seems to know what he's doing out there. And when he was at Williamsport, I thought that about him. I look at the Adam Haseley kid, the kid that was their first-round pick a year ago. Like the look of him, too. But when you look at all these prospects that have been dealt over the years, once in a while you're going to get an Anderson for Bagwell or you're going to get a Fryman for a Smoltz. But you know what? Those trades were made years and years ago. And it doesn't pan out that way. Normally, the team that gets the established player gets the right player. Normally, the team that gets the prospects, they're the ones rolling the dice. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about baseball attendance. Not good. And how they've tailored the game under an Ivy League approach has been driving fans away. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
You've heard of Sunday Fun Day. Well, Sunbury Motors Hyundai thinks you should have a fun day every day. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2017 new Hyundais that must go before July. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 6 2017 Hyundai Elantra Limiteds with savings over $6,000.
$6,000 off an Elantra Limited is huge.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 2017 Hyundai Sonatas with savings up to $6,144, starting at $18,666. Every Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and Hyundai Assurance. If an SUV is more on your mind, 2017 Santa Fe Sports start at $22,576, with savings on Santa Fe's now up to $5,199. If you're looking for a new vehicle with huge discounts and a fun day every day, now is the time to visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
So one thing that we have now in baseball is that there's so much information, like every sport. I mean, you want to see breakdowns on an NFL or NBA draft. I mean, you've got everything from wingspan to how they did at the combine, to how they did at a workout, to how they did in every college game they played in and so forth. Same thing with the NFL. Major League Baseball has become the same way. You look at the recently completed draft, there is so much information on all these players that they give you the impression that each guy in the first five rounds is a star. In fact, you'll get the distinct impression that if you're picked in the first round, you are a budding superstar. Let's go back 6 years of the 2012 draft. You know, because that's a sample size. We're now 6 years later. You know, who's in the majors, who isn't. In that draft, you had a first round and a supplemental round. So altogether, there were 60 players taken. You know how many have had what you would call good careers to this point? Right? 14. 23%. That's it. Okay, we talk about acquiring name players for prospects. All right, so it's always about you know we're going to trade away the name guy for prospects. So if I've got Tom Verducci was writing about Syndergaard and DeGrom, he's absolutely right. The Mets should not trade them. Shouldn't trade them at all. Those are two guys you build around. But they might be foolish enough to deal one of them because they think they can get more players, right? So I'm flipping this around about the Phillies. I believe strongly should make do whatever they can to acquire Manny Machado. Yeah, I'm not saying that puts them over the top, but I think it becomes a key piece. The Phillies traded Curt Schilling in 2000 to Arizona. Okay, next 6 years, no playoffs. You know what they got in that trade? They got Omar Dahl, Vicente Padilla, Nelson Figueroa, Travis Lee. They didn't get anything. Look at the White Sox. Chris Sale, 27 years of age at the time. Three more seasons before they had to actually do anything about it. So they traded him to the Red Sox for four outstanding prospects. Michael Kopech. He's walking six guys per nine innings. 5.20 ERA, now in AAA. Victor Diaz. He's thrown 105 innings in 4 years. Hadn't thrown any this year. Shoulder trouble. Luis Alexander Basabe. He's playing very well. You probably have not heard of him. You want to know why, Sean? He's still an A-ball. And then the key to the whole trade, Johan Moncada. So far in his career, with 500 Major League plate appearances, he is hitting .225 for his career. And he has struck out 35% of his times at the plate. The hype on all of these guys, especially Kopech and Moncada, is off the charts. Sale, meanwhile, goes out, gets the ball, is terrific almost every single time. Doesn't win every game, but he's terrific almost every single time. Who are the Red Sox better off with, Chris Sale or Yoan Moncada? My point is, who are the Phillies better off with, Manny Machado or four prospects they're going to give up? Go get Manny Machado. Go get him. Take four prospects. Take, take two really good ones and then a couple that whatever, you can convince them that they've got possibilities. They'll scout them. They'll come up with an opinion and deal them. I'm telling you right now, it's going to work out. The Phillies, the Hunter Pence thing is the greatest thing ever. Phillies gave up four prospects, essentially gave up nothing to get Hunter Pence. But Singleton was the big one. Domingo Santana was another one. Where are they right now? How much did they have to do with the Astros winning? Then they dealt Pence to the Giants. They got Tommy Joseph. You've got to be kidding me. There's so many trades like that. So take your prospects and go get a guy. I'm not saying Manny Machado's the savior, but my goodness, everyone knows he's an established, big-time player. And have no fear about giving up prospects. None. 80% of the trades where the team acquires the name player ends up on the better end of it. The team with the prospects is left with a guessing game and a bunch of fans that are confused. I mean, look, we acquired Sean for the show. Felt like we got an established guy. Felt good. We only gave up prospects.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, final half hour. Chuck Hickson, PhillyBaseballInsider.com coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Again, I say deal prospects, get established guys. And I always love this. Well, we're playing for the future. If you're always playing for the future, you have no present. Fans want to see results. They deserve it. All right. State of the game. Tom Verducci writes in Sports Illustrated. He wrote this article 4 days ago. And he starts out the article with a conversation he had with an anonymous field manager, where the manager's team lost a game in part because a relief pitcher, a ground ball specialist, allowed an infield hit on a topped ball. Manager's logic was, lost the game because of bad luck. Now, that's what I would say. The guy did what he was supposed to do, right? Now, we all know that general managers with some clubs, not all, but with some, are really running the show now. From, this is the batting order you should have, this is where they should be placed. Analytics input all over the place, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And the general manager went to the manager after the game. And he said, why did you put him in and not a strikeout guy? The general manager made it straight and forward to him. He said, look, you've got to keep the ball out of play. Now, the manager, according to Tom's article, said, hey, look, I know better than to respond, so he kept it to himself. But he said he thought to himself, the pitcher did his job and the ball was mishit. This is what we've come to? It's a good question. It's a really good question. baseball for such a long time was a game where you'd have hit and run, bunt, manufacture a run, steal a base, hit a home run. I mean, the scoring today is about the same as it was 30 years ago. There's not much difference. 8.5 to 9 runs a game 30 years ago, 8.5 to 9 runs a game today. Okay? But it's how you get there that is so different. So let's go back 30 years ago. How long was a game 30 years ago? 2 hours and 45 minutes. Today, the game is 3 hours and 4 minutes. So that's 19 more minutes. So what are you getting for your 19 more minutes? 30 years ago, 57 balls were in play. Today, 49. And 30 years ago, there were 11 strikeouts per game. Now there are 17. So the balls in play fewer. There are more strikeouts. These are all things we already knew. But there it is laid out for you statistically and numerically. And they know they have a problem right now. You know, you can talk about pace of play and things like that. But it's a problem. And the biggest part of the problem is when somebody gets on base. Oh, when somebody gets on base. All right. Do you know what the average is in the majors? What the average is between times the ball is put in play? Just guess, Sean. How long is it between, in terms of actual time, minutes and seconds, that the ball's between put in play?
So grand total for a game? Or, I mean, or just saying, like, in between pitches?
In between. How long does it take for have a ball in play and the next time the ball's in play? The average.
35 seconds?
3 minutes and 45 seconds. Between balls being put in play. That's 41 seconds longer than 20 years ago. Like, what? Okay. Let's pick a common denominator in sports. Let's go with other sports. Football, basketball, soccer, hockey. What's the common denominator? Movement on the screen. Movement. You know, basketball, you may be missing some shots, but there's movement. Soccer, okay? Well, you're talking about England and Tunisia, 1-1. But the ball is moving and players are moving, correct? Hockey, the final may be 4-3, but the action up and down the ice and stretching, it moves. Football, they're running plays every 30 seconds. It's a 40-second play clock. Every 30 seconds, they're running a play. There's movement, something happening, action. They do a great job with the replays to make you, again, perceive there's more action maybe than there really is. Baseball? No, there's no movement. And I love the game. I mean, I did a game last night at Williamsport that ended up in 2 hours and 34 minutes. Attendance is down 7% right now. That's the largest drop since 1995, which was coming off the shutdown of the 94 season. They lost 20% of their fans that year. And, I mean, part of it is there are just a lot of really mediocre teams. Cincinnati's mediocre. Baltimore's mediocre. Tampa Bay's mediocre. Oakland's mediocre. The White Sox are lower than mediocre. Pittsburgh, the Pirates, mediocre. Toronto has become mediocre. And a lot of people don't want to go out and watch mediocre teams play. Now, to the credit of the Phillies, they have their fans weathered the rebuilding storm and now feel like they've got something. But to the also to the credit of the Phillies, they signed Jake Arrieta. Now, who knows if Arrieta is going to work out long term, but at least they did it. Santana, again, another established guy. At least they did it. And that's a big part of it. And then there's this emphasis on strikeouts, walks, and home runs. You have got, and to me this is a problem right here. When you have a general manager, this comes from the general managers, not from the managers. Now, maybe Gabe Kapler falls into this category. Okay. That a strikeout is just another out. I mean, I'm talking offensively. I don't mean defensively. I'm talking offensively. But a strikeout is just another out offensively. Right? Yeah, hey, look, you know, strikeout is just another out. Don't worry about it. Launch a home run. Yet I did a game on Saturday night, albeit a minor league game, where on a bunt play to move the runner to third, third baseman picked it up, through not wild to first, but did pull the first baseman a little bit off the bag. He had to then sweep tag, and in the process of sweep tag, the ball got knocked loose, and the run scored to win the game. That happened because instead of launching one with an uppercut, and hey, if you get it, we win the game. Hey, if you don't get it, it's just another out. Yet a guy put down a bunt with the idea of, yes, sacrificing himself as an out to get the runner to third, and it turned out to be a scoring play. Hey, you've got all sorts of analytics and so forth, but you know what's missing in today's game? Instinct. Instinct is missing in today's game. And believe me, and the fans aren't going for it. You know what? Look, in the 1980s, baseball was popular beyond belief. The highest rated World Series games ever, in terms of the highest rating, were games 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 between 1984 and 88. The only one that doesn't fit in there is game 2 between the Phillies and the Blue Jays in 1993. That's the highest rated game 2 of a World Series ever in baseball ratings. I mean, you can talk about analytics and this, that, and the other thing, and all the numbers and all the crunching and how you do it better. But guess what? It's not translating to what the fans want to see. Right? You know, this is an entertainment sport. And it's not as if they haven't tried over the years to do certain things. They have, after 1968, when Bob Gibson had a 1.12 ERA, in 1968, where the American League batting champion was the only guy in the American League hitting over 300, Carl Yastrzemski, and he hit 301. They did some things. They lowered the mound, livened up the baseball, and finally, in the early 70s, the American League went to the designated hitter, which I think the National League should do as well. If you're going to play all these interleague games, unify the rules. Okay, that's why I've always said it's tougher to be a pitcher in the American League than it is in the National League. Because guess what? You got to face nine guys. Instead of messing around, pitching around an number eight hitter and then pitching to the ninth place hitter, which is the pitcher, and you go, wow, this is exciting. This is terrific. because I think, I mean, I realize that, that if you're a general manager, okay, you're trying to figure out what's the best way for me to win. Well, they feel this is their best way to win. Launch as many home runs as possible. Who cares about striking out? Who cares? But guess what? The fans are telling you they don't like your game. They don't like it. And this has nothing to do with millennials. I don't want to hear about the millennials want to see action, whatever. Everybody wants to see action. My goodness, you got Beaver Stadium packed. They're getting a play every 30 seconds. I mean, I know it's a 40-second play clock, but you know they snap it before then anyway. Every 30 seconds, they're getting a play. Basketball, NBA, you're getting a shot up every 24 seconds. In college, there's a shot at going up every 30. At minimum. Hockey's one stretch pass after another, and leading to rushes down the ice and shots on goal opportunities. And in baseball, okay, you've got de-emphasizing key parts of the game that I think are so important. We talk about a thinking man's game. And baseball's a wonderful thinking man's game. Wonderful. You think along with the manager and what they're doing and what they might try. But today, they don't want you opting for the hit and run. Stolen base under analytics is de-emphasized. They want you to launch it. Well, look, I want to see home runs too. I mean, believe me, I want to see home runs. But there are also other ways of doing this. And what happens on a hit and run? There's action. What happens on a stolen base? There's action. Right now, they're on track to have the worst per-game attendance since 1996. Now, we know that weather has been a problem. Okay? But I'll tell you another big problem, without question, okay, is rebuilding. Too many teams at once are rebuilding. Too much. Again, you watch basketball, you watch football, you watch hockey, you watch soccer. What happens on the screen? Okay? People are moving. Okay? It catches your attention. Movement catches your attention. Hey, in baseball, different game, but there's not a lot of movement because as time has gone and analytics have taken over, there's less and less movement. A guy gets a walk. Okay, that's part of the analytics formula, and yes, I am a big believer in on-base percentage, huge believer in on-base percentage. All right. But they don't want him to go anywhere. They want him to score ahead of a two-run homer. And that's what the Ivy League guy tells you. I'm like, going, cut me a break. Take advantage of people's skills out there. If he can run and get a defense crazed, run him. You got a guy at the plate that knows how to hit to the opposite field? Hit and run. Hit behind the runner. Hey, guess what? That stuff works. That stuff works. You gotta bunt a guy over because that's the best way to get something started? Do it. I'll say this. One thing they are doing in the minor leagues, and I've seen it the last two nights, that I don't like. Starting extra innings with a runner on second base. Last night I'm in Williamsport, and this crowd down below me, when they put the runner on second to start the 10th inning, started chanting, That's not baseball. That's not baseball. And they're right, it's not. I don't like it. Now, maybe it just becomes second nature to me in 6 weeks. Just like quarters in the NIT. Once I get to the middle of the Notre Dame game, the second game of the NIT, I didn't really think about it too much. Maybe in the middle of July, I may not think about this too much, but I don't like it.
Also, from over the weekend, what were your thoughts with Nick Dunn?
Well, I was going to do that in the final segment. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Spikes play game four of their season tonight. And I expect Nick Dunn, after a day off yesterday, to be back in the lineup tonight. You know, early evening game, 5 o'clock game following a night game that went 11 innings till, 11:30 at night on Saturday. Nick was not in the lineup yesterday. So I've seen him play two games, plus obviously I've seen him practice so far. I like him. I think he has really good range at second. I think he has a really good arm. He turns the double play really well. I mean, he's very smooth at doing that. At the plate, so far he's shown me to be a good, solid line drive hitter that tries to find gaps. He's a perfect guy for them at the top of the order. And you can see he has all the tools to move up in the organization. Now, at the end of the month, I'm going to have a much better grasp on him because I'll have more games to watch him. Because now you're watching him against comparable talent here at this stage. And more of the draft choices are starting to sign. In fact, at Williamsport, Lancaster and Vierling from Coastal Carolina and Notre Dame, respectively, both played yesterday. No offense to the free agents that they already had. You could see that they were a cut above entering in that level. And Nick is on this level here, even on a team that has a lot of draft choices already signed in the Cardinals and State College. Nick stands out. He's a good player. You can tell he knows how to play. Now we'll get a better read as time goes, but that's at least my initial impression of him.
He's off and running. That's great.
No, I mean, he's off to a good start. You can tell he knows how to play the game. You're like, well, of course he does. No, that's not true. There are a lot of guys I see that you say, you're like, they really don't know how to play the game. Nick knows how to play the game. You can see he reads situations well. You can tell before the play starts, he knows what he wants to do with it, either on the base paths, at the plate, or in the field. So I think Nick's off to a good start. Now, we'll get a better read in the next three games here at home. Looking forward to watching him. Hey, he's been great to talk to. Family should be awfully proud of him.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.